Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, today my guest is... All right, sorry about that, Will. Let's start over. I wanted to remind you, I'll do this. I'll wave my finger. I mean, like, we got 1 minute in and out of the breaks. And then so we can wrap up, and I'll do intros in and out. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, Will. Hey, folks, Steve Azar here. Time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Hope you guys are getting ready for your weekends. And if this is an encore performance on Sunday, blessings to you this glorious day. Don't forget, speaking of blessings, those folks down in Macon, Mississippi, Superior Catfish, been doing it a long time. Care so much about their product produced right here in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Come on and visit mississippi.org. As your music and culture ambassador of the great state of Mississippi, I understand the value that our art form brings to tourism, and making an economic impact is a beautiful thing. Go to visit mississippi.org. All right. My guest today is an incredible fingerstyle guitarist out of Greenville, South Carolina, the other Greenville, a place where I spent a lot of years competing in the golf tournament, the BMW. His playing is truly phenomenal. He's been mentioned and compared to a mix like Michael Hedges meets John McLaughlin, of course, in his own style, most importantly. As the Journal of Roots Music, No Depression, wrote, the guitar is not just an instrument in the hands of him, it's his soulmate. His recently released single, a solo acoustic Grateful Dead leaning version of Allman Brothers' Jessica, come on, includes fellow Greenvilleites like Jack Ryan on drums, Stephen Campbell, the bassist of the Marcus King Band, as well as Willie's Harp Machine, if I'm not mistaken, Mickey Raphael, who used
That's
to be
him,
my
yeah.
Yeah, I love it. My brother's old next-door neighbor in our Music City days. Speaking of Music City, he'll be playing in Nashville July 10th through 13th at the Chet Atkins Appreciation Society Convention, and his career is just getting started. So let's get to it with the multi-talented man. I know he spent over those 10,000 hours doing what he loves.
Oh, yeah, from. Buddy.
Jake,
think I'd have
Johnson.
A little more to show for it.
No, I've been... Hey, Jake,
you know what's
going
on? Oh man, it's good to be talking to you, man. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me. It's a weird thing about guitars. Like sometimes it's hard to put it down.
Yeah.
And then other times it's hard to make yourself like sit down and practice. You know, it feels like it's always either one or the other.
Well, I'm the songwriter.
But definitely been 10,000 hours.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm the songwriting type, and my guy to my right. Well, I had two guys to my right for a lot of years. This last one, 24 years, the one before retired from me. So those guys were so special. And I would just kind of look over at times and go, what the heck did you do when I was doing this other thing? Because just the ability to play, I'm always in awe of, you know, and I knew my lane growing up. I wanted to be a singer songwriter and I love playing guitar, and I played a lot of lead and stuff on my guitars. When you give me a studio and time to sort things out, I'm okay. But it makes sense for me, but I'm in awe of great players like you. I got to tell you something. Chet Atkins, one of my mentors in Nashville, he was the head of A&R when I was at Universal for a little while. David Conrad, he was mentored by Chet Atkins. So
wow.
Part of his whole upbringing in the music business, became a huge publisher, he and his wife, spent a lot of time right there next to Chet. And he just
That's
talked about
crazy,
it.
Man.
Incredible.
Well, I mean, they say Chet was as a producer, was very hands off. You know, he just kind of knew the right guys to call to get the sound he wanted. And, you know, I think when I'm working with other musicians, I tend to try to be that way anyway. You know,
there's something about you guys that is interesting. You can plug up into a guitar amp, and no matter what it is, your fingers, between whatever translate between your mind, your heart, your soul, and your fingers, you can make the sound that is you come out of anything with any guitar. And it's amazing. You know, and tell me about your setup, your personal go-to must-have setup.
Yeah, well, I'm a Takamine guy. I'm repping my brand with my shirt right now.
I like it.
I've got my Bulldog mug instead of my Takamine mug, but I've got one of those too. I've been playing those for, I guess about 12, 13 years ago, I got my first Takamine, and it was just one of those things. It was hanging in the music store. It had a cool finish on it. It looked nice. It wasn't a ridiculous price. And I picked it up and started playing it and thought, man, this feels pretty good and it sounds pretty good. And I didn't really know. I guess a lot of people still don't know that they make really nice high end, you know, $3,000-$4,000 guitars if you want to, you know, go that deep into it. But you know, all I ever saw were the little G series and things that would show up at an open mic here and there. But fell in love with that guitar. Bought it. Played it for a few years. You know, loved it. Ended up getting another similar model. You know, the Cedar Top Dreadnoughts. That's what I'm all about.
Sure.
You know, when I'm playing on stage, they're Cedar Top Dreadnoughts with a cutaway. And back, I guess about 2020, because we were all locked down. And of course, over the years, I'd tried reaching out to like artist reps at Takamine, and you know, I'm playing your guitars. I'm about to need a new instrument. You know, I'm playing full time, and I could never find the right person to like set me up with, you know, with an artist rep or any kind of endorsement deal. I guess maybe because the company's out of Japan, and so you know there were always things changing with their U.S. You know how they were represented in the U.S. And then kind of out of nowhere over lockdown, this dude messaged me over Instagram and he saw this old, you know, beat up Takamine I've got laying around here somewhere with a willy hole in it. And I'm not being dirty.
Sure.
That's what we call it.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
What we call
You've
it.
Worn
it's a
it
willy
out.
Hole.
I got it.
Yeah. And he's, you know, the Takamine artist rep, and he was like, we gotta help you out. You know, what can I do for you? And I was like, man, I'm gonna
don't you
to...
love the what can I do for you, the six
yeah.
beautiful words you hear from your
yeah.
guitar rep. Yeah,
yeah. I've got ideas, pal, let's talk. So man, they sent me a couple of guitars, and it, you know, it's like the world's locked down, everybody's sick and scared and nobody knows what's going on. And I thought, man, 2020 is a great year for Jacob
yeah.
Johnson, though.
Yeah.
Because I got two new guitars from Takamine.
Wow.
And yeah, and they've been great to me ever since. Anytime I need something, you know, a new case or a guitar for, you know.
Yeah, they're the best.
Auction off for a fundraiser. Yeah, they've always helped me out. And that's what I use on stage because they sound so big and beefy plugged in. You know, a lot of songwriters know. I think a lot of guitar players, with a few exceptions, don't know like what
yeah.
a big beefy sound they get plugged in. So I plug that. I run it through one of those Fishman Aura Spectrum DIs that
Perfect.
Has that little just add that little bit of air around it, and I put it into a Schertler amplifier. They make those in Switzerland, and it's a 100-watt acoustic amp. And
do you have a Fishman pickup or a Bags? What's going on in there?
It's the proprietary Takamine pickup. They call it a palathetic pickup, I think.
Yeah, well, they've always gotten it figured out. I'm not going to mention some brands that I was on their list, and when they were mm-hmm. wanting to do their own pickups, they spent a lot of money, and it wouldn't for a band as loud as my band is, it wouldn't cut through. It just couldn't. And they were so upset with me that I was telling them that was the situation. I was going, do you want me to tell you and make something up? Or do you want me to tell you the truth? And it wasn't a good moment. They were really unhappy, and they heard it from other people too, as well as me, but For you, are you getting, is it cut? Are you a cutaway style guy? Do you need all that space down the neck?
You know, I like to have it. I guess I'm more comfortable with it. I don't know. It's like something feels right about it. And you know, that's the dusty end of the fretboard. I probably don't use it that much, but I like having it. So that's what I stick with for the most part.
I love it. We're talking to Jacob Johnson. He's going to be in Music City, Nashville, July 10 through 13 at Chet Atkins Appreciation Society Convention, doing his thing with Takamine all over his body right now and not his cup because he's got a bulldog. I can't wait to find out his bulldog's name. Jacob Johnson, you got to check him out. Also, check out my pals at Superior Catfish, homegrown in Mississippi, like Jacob's homegrown in Greenville, South Carolina. We take pride in it. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. Check out the Civil Rights Museum in Jackson. Check out the Grammy Museum, the B.B. King Museum in the Delta. It all awaits you. I'm Steve Azar. We'll be right back.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Helium Corporation.
I am Steve Azar, rolling through a Mississippi Minute. I've got one crazy talented guitar playing fool on the phone today and on Zoom, but you guys can't see us, but we can see ourselves. Jacob Johnson is my guest today. He's going to be in Music City July 10 through 13, showing his incredibly crazy skills on the guitar. Hands were born to do it. The critics are screaming about this guy. And also, a shout out to my buddy Rob Evanoff, his publicist, who, I'm going to see him in LA very soon. Actually, by the time this airs, I will have already taken him to dinner, a much needed dinner that, he's been so good to me. So shout out to you, Rob. You're an amazing publicist. Jacob, I can tell he's nodding right now at how good you are with him and everybody else. Also, thinking of good, you want it on your plate. I am sending Jacob some Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. It's produced in Mississippi. I was born and raised in Greenville, Mississippi. My pal here, Jacob, was born and raised in Greenville, South Carolina, the other Greenville. I remember playing a show many years ago, Jacob, and going like, we're going to, there's another Greenville? You know, when I was very geographically challenged, very geographically challenged, you know, when you're just leaving your hometown, wait a minute, there's another Greenville, and then realize that there's a lot of Greenvilles.
Thinking about every state.
Yeah. Visit Mississippi.org, never an afterthought. Check it out. Plan a road trip. All right, Jacob, let's talk about these wonder years growing up. You know, I always feel like there's a point in our life that leads you to the forever of your passion. And you and I are the ones lucky enough and fortunate enough. You know, I'm a lot older than you. And I've been so blessed that I've gotten to do this my whole life. I feel like I'm pulling off the ultimate couth. I feel like it's my heaven on earth. And folks, a lot of folks, because of circumstances that come along the way, obligations, they just have to drop their passion and just get to work on something else. And next thing you know, it's 30 years later and you know, they've left that behind. For you, I have a feeling you know the gift that you have and you know the gift of getting to do it, what it is. So take me back to the epiphany of when it all happened.
I think I was the last of the like kids that grew up watching Hee Haw. You know, I was like in 87, 8, you know, 88, 89, there were still new episodes of Hee Haw coming on TV. It was syndicated. And so my earliest memories are being in front of the TV set watching Roy Clark and Buck Owens. And then of course, you know, on a Friday night, there'd be like a rerun of the Andy Griffith Show and you'd see the Darlin family. And I was just, you know, mesmerized by the music on TV. Once a year at the little Southern Baptist church my dad was the pastor of, we'd have homecoming. And for homecoming, there would always be like a Southern gospel group, you know, and sometimes they've had have instruments, or there'd be a guitar and a bass, you know, that kind of thing. And I was, even at an early age, I was always looking at like their hands, you know. It was like I knew that was where it came from. So that was always kind of knocking around in the back of my head. And once I got a little older, maybe 11, you know, 10, 11, 12, right around in there, I thought, you know, I've always been interested in guitar. I'm going to pick this thing up and I'm going to try.
That's sort of the magic age. That was me writing songs 11 years old. Isn't that funny? 10, 11, 12. That's sort of a spot, I think, that historically a lot of our friends in our business, no matter what they have been working at their craft, it's usually that time in their life. Interesting. Must be a very nurtured time, a very
maybe that's the age where you realize I'm not going to throw a 95 mile an hour fastball. I'm not going to I'm not going to be an astronaut. I can't be a cowboy. That's like not a real thing. I mean, it is kind of a real thing, but you kind of lump it in with the rest. Can't be an astronaut. Can't go to space. I can't be Robin Hood.
I love
you
that.
Know what's left. So you're a smart kid, or you're the athlete, or you're like, let me try guitar. Something else I got into around that age, which is very common, was magic. You know, sleight of hand. And did you ever go through a magic phase?
Nah, listen, I had friends that did it, and I realized that I just wanted to watch. And I'm still in awe at this day. I'm like, how did you do that?
You know? No, I'm still kind of on the periphery of the magic community, and I keep up with, you know, who's doing what, and I'm still a fan just because it's a very interesting art form.
Sure.
You know, the fact that these guys, you know, like we practice guitar, we practice whatever it is so that people will see how good we are. And they spend hours practicing something so that nobody will ever see it. They'll never know that they even did the thing that they were practicing in front of the mirror for 6 hours. And there's something really interesting about that.
Sure.
But, yeah, but man, you use everything you ever learn. And I, you know, when I was young, you know, a teenager, I would do magic shows at like little schools or churches or whatever. And man, you really have to know where people's attention is, right? Because it's all about misdirection. And it's like you sort of develop this sense of like when somebody's looking where they're not supposed to be looking, or when you're starting to lose it. And I feel that kick in when I'm on stage. You know, I can sense if there's a conversation going on in the bathroom. sense if like, okay, this song's going on a little too long, I'm losing them here, so I need to rewrite it if it's something new, or I need to make sure I do something, you know, up-tempo to kick them in the pants again after this.
Well, that only comes from doing it. I mean, that just comes from years of doing it. I love hearing you say that you're in touch with that. I always sort of see a crowd as one thing. Like every crowd takes on its own, almost like it's one person, right? Its own vibe, its own feeling, its own mood. And sometimes you'll want to go with that mood, and sometimes you'll want to go, can I change that mood a little bit? You know, it's interesting that you're talking about that, because I notice everybody in the crowd when the lights hit them, every one of them. When I can see, you know, even as far as when it's huge crowds, I would look way up in the rafters and go, huh, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, are they with us? Are they with us?
Yeah.
You know, are you born and your talent nurtured on the streets, in the clubs, in your room? Are you also well studied in a formal education?
I wouldn't say that I'm well studied. I teach guitar at a university here in Greenville, but it is the college that I dropped out of. So I'm not very well studied. I'm going back right now. I'm doing Berklee online so that I can get a degree, so I can, cause I'm teaching so much that like, that it'd be full time hours, but they can't hire me to like get a bachelor's degree.
Go figure. Wow. Yeah.
So I am doing that. I will be, by the time I'm 40, I will be formally trained with the guitar, but it all just, you know, you know how it is. You're not self-taught. You play with other people. Sure. Some of it comes from sitting by yourself in a room, you know, playing CDs or slowing down like VHSs and, you know, figuring out what their fingers are doing. But it wasn't long before I was going out and finding places to play. I played in a group, you know, when I was in high school, and we were all high school guys, but we were doing like the wing joints, and we traveled a little bit, and, you know, Hendrix and Jackson 5 and Stevie Wonder, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the 3-4 hour sets. That's an education.
Sure,
for
we
like
all
a
had
16,
to do it. Are you kidding
old.
Me? Of course.
Yeah, yeah. And man, I remember, you know, the first one of those long sets. We did not pace ourselves at all. You know, you play 45 minutes, you take a 15-minute, 20-minute break, and then you get back. We did like an hour, took like a 5-minute break, did another hour.
Ran out of songs, had to start back.
Yeah, I went and like, yeah, I had a smoke, came back in.
Yeah.
I don't think we ran out of songs, but we ended up having to turn our amps down because our drummer was just like, he was so tired.
Yeah, exhausted.
Like, yeah, there was yeah. like half the velocity.
Nobody ever thinks about the guy back there working his tail off, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's interesting. You know, if you bring up the word smoke, we were talking about this the other day. When I grew up and my band was rolling in the late 80s, there was never a time when you looked into the crowd, what you saw was one person not smoking. One person smoking, right?
Yeah.
And you go home and the next morning you smell your clothes and it was just sweat meets this all. I'm sorry, my listeners out there, but it was awful. It was awful.
Yeah.
And my Johnny Lee there would go, my goodness, Steve Azar, what in the heck? And I said, it wasn't me. I was up there singing, but you know, there's no telling what we've inhaled or took down. Let's take a quick break, folks. We are with the wonderfully talented Jacob Johnson from Greenville, South Carolina. He is doing – hey, Jacob, how can people get to you?
You can find me – everything is Jacob Johnson Tunes. Instagram, Jacob Johnson Tunes. Facebook is Jacob Beautiful. Johnson Tunes. Yep.
T-U-N-E-S. Check him out. Check this masterful playing skills. It's mad. It's just simply mad because you got to be mad to be this good. Speaking of this good, you want it on your plate, Superior Catfish. I'm telling you, they're great folks over there in Macon, Mississippi. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. And my dear pals over at VisitMississippi.org, I'm telling you right now, you'd be so proud of your Mississippi. One day we're going to get Jacob down here to do his thing. Bring it. Let his fingers do the walking all the way to the Mississippi Delta. I'm Steve Azar. We'll be right back.
Sun came up in the middle of the night. Been doing it wrong for so long. I sure ought to know what it finally feels like to be doing it, doing it, doing it.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yeah, I've been down.
Superior Catfish. There's catfish and there's Superior Catfish. If I do my math, my Mississippi math, it says, well, 10 plus 10 is 20. Don't make me start doing math for you guys. You're going to be upset at me. My son is brilliant at math. That's why he's about to be a doctor. Hallelujah. Speaking of that, go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Great folks over there producing Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. I'm telling you, this just, the only way to explain it is just let your, just get on their site and just plan some trips, and even the culinary arts will blow your mind in our great state of Mississippi. Great chefs. There's great chefs. There's great musicians in Greenville, South Carolina. Jacob Johnson is my guest today. Jacob Johnson Tunes, T-U-N-E-S. You can follow him and check him out everywhere you do on social media, and give him a shout out. Also, I wanted to tell you, there's been many a nights with I've been texting this morning with my buddies from Hootie and the Blowfish, well, the drummer, Sony. And we spent many a nights playing at the BMW. We would do the downtown. Our band played the downtown on the water. You know, there's the Peace Center. What's the name of some center?
The Peace Center and the stage behind is like TD stage or something like that.
I love it. Yep. Beautiful back behind the scenery behind us. And, and Greenville, South Carolina is a fantastic town. One of our biggest donors at our foundation, shout out Tommy Foster and Shonda. They are from there and they park a lot of money in the Mississippi Delta for the Arts for Kids. They are absolutely wonderful. And I met him as my BMW partner many years ago, 13 years ago. And he's never missed. They've never missed. So that town, what has mattered to us, and it's been a big, just, it's meant a whole lot to me. So, Sony and those guys are, they're back out doing the Hootie and the Blowfish tour. I'm so proud of them. And I was talking, also this morning, well, texting this morning with Damon Johnson. Damon Johnson is the new lead guitar player the last 4 years that took Gary Rothingham's place in Lynyrd Skynyrd. And we grew up playing together. And I just think about these guys that I've gotten to know over the years, and I'm thinking about you now as I get to know you, that once again, the one thing they said was, can you believe we get to do this still after all this time? You are younger than us. We're all the same age. And so you're, we're exactly the same age. The three of us, Sony and, from Hootie and Blowfish and well, he may be a year older. He may be old, a year older. What the
hell?
No,
y'all are pretty close.
Yeah, we're pretty old. And, but Damon Johnson, he's a dear friend from Birmingham. But anyway, long story short, I'm thinking about your journey right now, and you're halfway through where we've been. And I can see you light up when you talk about the guitar. I can see you light up when you talk about what's going on. Let's talk about this gig in Nashville. And have you played Nashville before? And it sounds like you're going to be like a professor with the guitar. Tell me about this gig. You know what I mean? Anything that has Chet Atkins and Jacob Johnson to do sounds like I'm going to class.
Well, no, I heard for years and years and years about the Chet Atkins Appreciation Society that happened in Nashville. And I happened to be driving through, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 years ago now when it was going on. And I knew some people that were there. I'd already been on the road with Tommy Emmanuel some at that point. And I just kind of popped in and spent the afternoon there and, man, met people that day that, I'm close friends with, like to this day. So I try to make it out every year. I don't make it every year, but, it's one of my favorite, parts of the year. It's like Christmas for guitar players. Cause it's not, have you ever been?
Well, I gotta tell you, we left Nashville in 2011. I went there. I was there 20 years. I got to be honest with you. I have not been. And how long has it been there?
I mean, since Chet was around. I mean, I think.
Yeah. So
Can
you believe that?
I didn't even
know about it. What's that tell you? How could I have not known about it?
I mean, it's kind of its own little universe, and it's very laid back. It's very family oriented. You know, there's a lot of older folks now, but with Tommy and, you know, people like Gareth Pearson and. Joe Robinson and myself, Casper Essman, you know, Kirby Easler, you know, there's young blood coming in there, but it's not, it's somewhere between a festival and like a conference or convention.
Right.
But there's not, the guitar players all love it because there's not a contest, you know, usually these guys, they're all going around a Winfield or wherever it is and they're doing like contests, but there's no contest. We're just hanging out and playing and.
Do you ever cross into bluegrass at all, flat picking, any of that, or no? You don't see yourself at all?
A little bit. Yeah. Just growing up here, you know, you have to some. But, you know, like I've got friends that are so deep down that rabbit hole, like kind of like jazz. Like I can play some jazz tunes, but I know serious bluegrass players, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hesitate to say that I play bluegrass, but, yeah, I know some of the tunes, yeah.
Dan Tominski from Alice Across Union Station is an old friend, and he cracks me up. Like, he's won, like, I can't remember, it's either 14 or 15 Grammys, and he keeps the foam from the Grammys because he says it makes great acoustic studio tile, but he doesn't know where his trophies are, the Grammy. You know what I mean? I'm going, like, come on. He goes, I'm serious, Steve. I said, okay, I believe you. But he's a very humble guitar player, and he's a bad mother. I mean, like, it cracks me up. He goes, oh yeah, I'm all right. And I go, okay, whatever, you know, but I've seen him just get worked up and go. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
But,
yeah, he's a monster.
What makes him great is his humility. It's just amazing. Have you noticed that? And I noticed that about you. You're a very, warm, approachable, excitable guy. I feel there's no fog of attitude around you at all. And I love that about you. But have you not noticed the best of the best are always more in that spirit?
Well, yeah. And I'll tell you part of why the reason that is, like, if you get to a certain level and you're playing with other great musicians, you know your place. You know what I mean? And it's not false humility. I know I'm good at what I do. I'm very confident on stage. I know I'm a good guitar player.
You have to know that.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
But crucially, my identity, as a person, but even just as a performer, doesn't just hinge on being a great guitar player or the best guitar player or whatever. Man, I was playing with, Phil Keggy.
Well, of course, I know who Phil Keggy is.
So, yep. Phil Keggy, one of my first guitar heroes, he was one of the first guys I saw do like a bunch of open tuning stuff and looping and tapping. And I got to play with him in Knoxville. This has been, 8 or 10 years ago now. And got to the gig and he said, hey, and he'd seen some of my videos and he was really sweet and, very humble, like you said. And he was like, man, I'm really kind of keen to drive back to Nashville tonight after the show. Would you mind if we switched sets? And I'll go first, and you'll go after me. And I just thought, man, that's a terrible idea. not just because, well, it's Phil King, but just, I don't want to do like 20 minutes after a headliner does their like 70 or 90 and everybody's kind of ready to leave. I was like, man, I'm here for you, babe. Like whatever makes you happy. And he told the people, he told the audience, you got to stick around and see this guy. It's going to be good. And most of them stayed. Like, I thought the place was going to clear out, but most of them stayed, got a standing ovation, sold a bunch of my stuff. But I knew when I was, and I had a good set.
Love it.
I had a good set, but I knew I was not the best guitar player that they saw that night, and that was okay. Like, I just got on stage, I did my thing, and it sounds corny, but I did my thing. I was just myself, and everybody enjoyed it, and everybody had a good time.
Yeah, and they stood up, and that lets you know.
Yeah, that
there it is right there. I love it. I love it. Those are the nights you remember because you're throwing curveballs. I feel like as an entertainer, the more curveballs that happened, especially the more you do it, the more it lends itself to an opportunity to be an entertainer, right?
Yeah.
Because don't forget, you're not just a guitar player up there. You're an entertainer. There's another half
absolutely
of you that has to be able to connect to a crowd besides your great playing. And that comes just with doing it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Your Wonder Years, were they full of guitar playing? Did your folks or anybody do this?
My grandmother played. My immediate family was not very musical. My mom would put on like a Roger Miller record. Still have that great Roger Miller record. And my dad was into, the Statler Brothers. But they weren't big music people. My dad's mom, we called her Mom Johnson. She played guitar and she sang like in pickup bands in, the 40s and 50s.
I love
country
it.
Acts would tour and they would, and she would get hired to like sing back up and play with like Ernest Tubb or Hank Snow or people like that.
Yeah.
And, so she taught me my first couple of chords and she didn't play a lot growing up, but every now and then she'd get her old guitar out and, play Send Me the Pillow You Dream On or, Happy Birthday if it was somebody's birthday, something like that.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about some more of those inspirations and what inspired you at a younger age. We're with Jacob Johnson, going to be in Nashville June 10 through 13, doing all sorts of his crazy skills, showing them off on my old stomping grounds in Music City. Speaking of stomping grounds, Superior Catfish. Check them out at superiorcatfish.com. Great folks in Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. Your road trip awaits. I'm going to take Jake one day to play Dancing Rabbit, Pearl River Resort. I'm Steve Azar.
I'm in.
I'll be okay. Starting today, I'm gonna get myself in shape. Let go of my regrets. Make this my last cigarette. Starting today, I'm gonna turn this boat around. Get that rainbow I've been chasing down. It's alright. I'll be okay. Starting today. I'll be okay. Starting today, mm-hmm.
This is Home Answers.
Just a wee little segment left. Don't be shy. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. It's the perfect lunch, the perfect dinner, and you can have it with your grits in the morning. Come on. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. Is, like I said, we've left a blues trail marker all the way over in Liverpool, one of over 200 of them, for the Beatles invasion. It's an amazing, you just follow the trail and you'll be blown away. And obviously, I'm blessed to be on the country music trail marker system. We are about 40 of them now, and that's in my hometown of Greenville in front of Jim's Cafe. Jacob Johnson's my guest today. He's going to be in Nash, Vegas, July 10 through 13. There's a good chance that there's going to be some, maybe 50 bachelorette parties as well, because that's what Music City's turned into. There's more bachelorette running around than songs being written now in Music City, which just totally throws me. You know, like, it's what's happened, but
that's,
hey.
That's like when they said more vinyl was being sold than CDs.
Yeah. And which is official, yeah. By the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? I love it. Well, whoever thought that vinyl with that big production of grabbing this big piece of art, unwrapping it, and from its, you know, the plastic, and pulling out the sleeve, and it's so substantial, putting the art on the wall like it's a painting. Whoever thought that that was a good idea to get rid of for a while? Come on.
I don't know, man. The only problem with vinyl, and I have a normal sized record collection, you know, like it's maybe 300 or 400. As you know, you're normal. Anybody who does something more than you is a weirdo. Yeah. If they're doing it less than you, they don't care. I have a normal sized record collection, maybe like 300 or 400. We both know people that have thousands. You might have more than that.
300 or 400 sounds like you're a little bit of a eccentric freak, as far as I'm concerned, of an album collector.
But the only problem with vinyl is it's not portable. You can't listen to it in the car. You know, that's the only thing that CD. I mean, CDs are a good medium. You know, like there's pretty high quality. You can skip around between songs, which you can't do like on a, you know, on tapes, at least not very, they couldn't do that very well. But yeah, it's hard to beat vinyl. And there's also just, there's an ego stroke as a musician to know like, okay, I've got this. I have records that were like, you know, my grandparents and older, you know, I have my great, however many greats, gramophone, like hand crank Victrola full of 78s. In my lounge, and just thinking, you know, somewhere in 80 years, hopefully somebody's going to have this Jacob Johnson record. Gosh,
you
darn
dang
it.
Right, they are. I'm getting one after this interview. Let me ask you, as far as you talk about your grandmother, I love hearing that. I wasn't expecting that, but then again, I never know what to expect, and you know, it either. You have somebody in your family, you don't. That was amazing about your grandmother, Grandma Johnson. What'd you call her?
Mom Johnson.
Mom Johnson. Okay. Who else did you have to come across as inspirational to you that has led you to today? You had to listen and feel that player.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, before I say this, I will say I did suffer from kind of a dearth of mentors, you know, the music thing kind of, like I said, it sort of came out of nowhere. My parents were supportive, but they didn't really know what to do with me or Fine Arts Center or Jasper, you know, like we just didn't know what that stuff was. I was just out playing and learning. My buddy, Chuck Emery, who I'm about to have lunch with as soon as we get finished here. My dad was a preacher growing up. And when he retired from the pastorate and started, he teaches at a university. He just, retired. But when he was done with preaching, he would go and do these little short-term stints at churches while they were looking for pastors. So that was where I met this guy, Chuck Emery. And he's just like a music fan, you know, and he's maybe 15 years older than me or so. I was about 12, 13 at the time, and I was starting to get into like Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins. And man, Chuck just, he latched onto me and I latched onto him. He took me to my first concert. He took me to see Willie. And he was kind of my guy that sort of showed me, all right, this is Stevie Ray Vaughan live at the El Macambo. This is how to sync up, you know, Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz. This is, you know, how to play like the Chuck Berry lick, you know. He was a good outlet, you know. He got me turned on to lots of good stuff, and he actually ended up compiling the official Tony Rice discography that appears in the Tony Rice authorized biography. So I mean, he's a big music guy.
A bit of a historian,
a pretty good little picker.
A bit of a historian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loved.
Yeah,
it. Yeah, yeah.
And now he's a preacher. He's the preacher at the church I go to now.
He sounds like the guy that he's already. Look what he's done for you and how he's inspired you and driven.
Yeah, we're
you.
Still very tight.
That is a beautiful thing. All right, what as far as your records, what's out there for folks to go check out?
There's a couple things that are out of print. The stuff that you can find now, the albums are, there's one called One Take Jake that's all just solo acoustic and vocal. It's just what you see me do if I go do a show somewhere.
One Take Jake. I like that.
One Take Jake. There's a Christmas album called Wild and Sweet that's kind of, you know, kind of similar. It's just acoustic and vocal.
You're going to be in Nashville. Jacob Johnson Tunes. J-A-C-O-B, Johnson, as you know, Tunes, T-U-N-E-S. Check him out everywhere. Check his music out. And I really appreciate you taking the time. If you're in Nashville, folks, July 10 through 13, he's going to be at the Chet Atkins, Appreciation Society Convention, raising all sorts of cane and showcasing his incredible talent that he has worked so hard on. What a guitar player. Jacob, I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, man. Let's do it again.
We will. Superior Catfish. There's catfish. There's Superior Catfish. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com and visit Mississippi.org. Oh, a road trip on steroids awaits. That's what I'm talking about. Jacob, you're the best. Blessings, my brother.
Thanks, man.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.